Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Jim Jefferies podcast. I'm Jim Jefferies. Please subscribe and rate this podcast and come and see me on tour this week. November 10th and 11th, I'll be in Toronto at the Sony Center for Performing Arts. And December 1st, I'll be at the, the Agua Caliente. In Rancho Cucamonga.
No, it's not. It's Rancho Mirage, California.
Rancho Mirage.
Okay.
And December 2nd, I'll be at the Celebrity Theater in Phoenix. Ooh, you'll never know who you might see. The Celebrity Theater in Phoenix. All the celebrities in Phoenix will be out there just sweating their fucking balls off.
In Tucson, they have the non-celebrity theater, not as popular.
So. Also, we added extra shows in the UK, January 24th in London at the Hammersmith Apollo, and in Manchester at the Manchester Apollo on January the 25th. You can get tickets at jimjefferies.com. I am joined, as I always am joined, by Forrest Shaw. Say hello, Forrest.
What's up?
And we have a very special guest who didn't actually come and see the show.
No,
wasn't a show. A friend of mine who didn't come and see the show.
I wasn't invited.
You were invited. Like, it happens before the podcast. You were like, can I come and do your podcast? And I'm like, fucking sure, thinking you'd come and see the show. Because all we do is talk about this show. Mr. Jack Whitehall.
I thought I was arriving to see the show and then do the podcast. And
what time did you arrive?
I arrived at 2.
Oh, that's too late.
Do you want to give any background on our guest before you just keep going?
Jack Whitehall is a British movie star, comedian. I'll say comedian first. Stand-up comedian, movie star, sex symbol, many would say.
And big celebrity in Phoenix.
Big celebrity.
So I'm going to be in Phoenix.
Yeah,
big celebrity. And he's only in town because he's doing James Corden's show.
No.
And he's going to do Conan. What else are you in town for?
I'm here to break Hollywood.
Oh.
And this was the week that
Hollywood is the name of a prostitute he knows.
And you guys go back, though. You guys have known each other.
I've known Jack since Jack was a sprightly, probably 17-year-old.
Yeah,
how old are you now?
I'm 29 now.
You're 29? Yeah. I've known you for that long. I've known you for a very long time. You're 29.
Yeah. You took me under your wing at Edinburgh Festival.
I took him under my drunken wing.
Yeah.
And it was... This is the UK, so you're allowed to do that with 17-year-olds. Over here, that would seem like a very bad thing to do.
And you just started at 17?
I just started, yeah. And
you started at 17? I thought you were a bit younger. I thought you were like 14 or something.
I looked about 14. I mean, I still don't look.
How's your brother Barney?
Yeah, Barney.
How's Barney doing?
He's actually in America. He's on a road trip with his girlfriend. They're in San Francisco.
I'm just surprised that Barney has a girlfriend. Things are looking up for everybody.
You love Barnaby.
Are you calling Barnaby? I call him Barney.
What's his name?
We're so close.
John. Barney. Yeah, big fan of yours.
So this is the weird thing. Like, okay, so you're unknown in America of sorts.
Yeah, I'd say.
But
completely.
You have 5 million Twitter followers.
I think it's 5.7 now,
5.7 million Twitter followers. And that's just in the UK, a country of 60 million. Oh, probably you have some Australian folk and probably are you big in India?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Probably big. Yeah, probably. In the Commonwealth, pretty big.
Any place that the British took over, any place where the Empire really like the dark side did,
they like to hear this voice.
They like to hear this voice because it sounds like you're knowledgeable.
Cathartic. Yeah.
Like you can bark orders.
Yeah.
But the most South Africans must love you.
Oh, they love this. They love this.
Half the South Africans are big fans of yours. So we got Jack Whitehall here. We don't have any writers with us today. It was an interesting episode. I got through it pretty quick. That's how I judge an episode. How fast do I do the read?
Yeah, you killed that Act 3.
Act 3, man. I know how to talk about religion. I did Act 3 in maybe one take. And I did Act 2. We did an Act 2 where I interviewed Mark Cuban. I was in Dallas and I interviewed Mark Cuban. I looked super fucking wasted in the interview, but I was just tired. And
your fly was down.
And I did a great take. And then Wardrobe came up to me and said, your fly was down the whole time. So I had to do that all over again. So there's the flied take and the unflied take. So in today's show, what did we start off talking about? We talked about
first
things.
This episode was called I'm Sure It'll Be Fine, and we kind of went back and rehashed some things that people are forgetting about because all everyone thinks about is imminent doom with Trump. So we talked about some other things where it's kind of doom, but that we kind of forget about because every day something crazier things happen. So the first thing was Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, and basically they don't have any power still.
Yeah, it turns out in Puerto Rico they don't have any power anymore, and people have stopped talking about that in the news. And they used to talk about it a lot when it was happening. Well, not a lot. It never got the coverage that the Hurricane Harvey got. Mm. I'm talking obviously about Harvey Weinstein. Yeah. In Houston, Hurricane Harvey, and then what was the one that hit Florida? What was that called?
Irma
and Harvey got a lot more play than Maria did. Maria sounds more foreign.
The hurricane we had in Britain got no coverage, I imagine, over here at all.
Oh, yeah, I know. It got a little bit.
Did you have one in there?
Yeah. We had like a hurricane, like Hamish or Fred or something.
Yeah, it was something very British.
It was the least impressive
hurricane. No.
Giles.
I'm trying to remember the name. It was.
He went to Cambridge. He was disillusioned.
Didn't it start with an O? Oscar?
An Oscar, yes.
Hurricane Oscar. Hurricane Oscar. And it was like the remnants of, but it hit like the.
It's the hurricane that apologized afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was the only hurricane that cleaned up after itself.
Pardon me. Excuse me. We pick up that car. But was there a lot of damage over there? Or was it
literally no damage at all.
What part of Britain did a shed fell over?
Ireland got hit.
What part of Britain did it hit?
It hit the south coast.
So Cornwall?
Like Cornwall and Devon.
But isn't it a lot of cliffs on the ocean there?
There's the White Cliffs of Dover.
That helps because the big problem here is when you're low level of the ocean, the storm surge comes in and you're like 6-7 feet underwater. What I was thinking about, if it was hitting like Ireland, they said it was going to, I was like, I just imagine cliffs and they're like, all right, it's just a rough day.
People don't know this, but I'm a little bit of a Britishophile. Is that a term? I relate to British people more than I do Australians or Americans.
Yeah, you're getting more British right now as you talk.
I'm sorry, I've been drinking.
No. Well, that's the drinking thing. That's...
When I get drunk, I speak more British. And then when I'm in Australia, I Aussie up real fucking quick. Forrest did a tour of Australia with me and I was like, fucking this and fucking that. And I was Aussie. It was all over. I've never had my voice slip into American yet. In fact, I did a movie where I had an American accent, and it's been renownedly criticized as appalling.
Oh, what movie? what movie is that? We should all see it.
I haven't seen it.
I think I know what it is.
It was me, Ken John, and Rhys Darby, and it was a film.
Killing
David Hasselhoff. Yeah. And it was about guys in a celebrity death pool, and I'm appalling in it. And I take full credit for being bad.
Do you start American and then give up like halfway through sentences?
What happened was, because Rhys Darby was in the movie, they said to me, we can't have two accents because that would be crazy. And so they said, can you do an American accent? And I just went, yeah.
And of all the people they should ask, Rhys would be more, I feel like since he does so many characters, he'd be able to
Rhys can't do it. If you don't remember, you don't know who Rhys Darby is. Rhys Darby played Jacko, our sports guy, in the last episode.
Why do people do that? Like I do that if I'm asked whether I can do something. Any accent I'll say I can do. I said I could play guitar.
Did you play guitar in a movie?
I didn't get the fucking part because I went into audition and I got called up on the lie. I thought I was like, I can play guitar. Like I've held a guitar.
Was it just that, or was the character also black and you were just lying about everything?
No, it was Brian May.
You wanted to play Brian May.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, Brian May is the curly-headed man from Queen.
Yep.
One of the greatest guitarists of all time. His guitar was made from a fireplace.
Yeah. His dad made
his guitar from a fireplace. Like, this is the stories of legend. And he doesn't use a pick. He uses a dime. A dime, a coin.
Yeah.
As his thing.
You're just going to wing it? That's one of the great guitar players.
I look quite like him. So I was like, that's
without the hair, but they would have put a wig on.
Yeah, put a wig on, we can get one of them. Yeah. And they said, can you play guitar? And I was like, yeah. I mean, I've picked up a guitar.
You know, a couple
I've
of
never,
chords.
Ever played a guitar before in my life. But I was like, let's just show them that I look a bit like him if I had a wig, and we'll see where it goes from there.
I can't believe you still have to audition, but the fact that you went, who was playing Freddie Mercury? Was it just the Brian May story? if it was just the Brian May story, I'm going to say you didn't miss out on much. That's a direct to VHS.
Yeah.
You've who, seen Freddie Mercury.
Who's playing Freddie Mercury?
Rami Malek. It's who's, the big film.
From Mr. Robot.
Doing it. Yeah, Rami Malek from...
You ever seen Mr. Robot?
Wasn't there a time when Sacha Baron Cohen was going to play Freddie Mercury, but Sacha Baron Cohen said there wasn't enough dick sucking in the film for him to be happy?
Suddenly my guitar life seems like a less worse way to be dropped from that film.
So that's a new film then, because that's...
No, that's the film that they're making now.
Okay, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. It's like current. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Who did they cast as Brian May?
He's called Gwilym Lee.
Gwilym.
Ah, Gwilym.
Hurricane Gwilym, as I call it.
Gwilym.
Gwilym couldn't have any other job besides being an actor. You can't go, you just come on the construction site, just go speak to Gwilym. He'll give you your helmet.
I got the plumbing all fixed by Gwilym. It's leaking. That's weird.
Yeah. Oh, Gwilym. When will you get the ring from Mordor? So that's Jack being Brian May, and I did a bad movie.
We were talking about hurricanes.
The show started. We were talking about hurricanes and the problems with hurricanes. And it turns out, just a head note, hurricanes on the bad list. No good.
Not good.
People don't like them. You don't want to have a hurricane near you. Hurricanes are bad.
People in construction like them. That's it.
In construction like them.
Yeah, because afterwards they make a lot of money. I live in Florida. I'm telling you, it's like a boon for them.
We did a joke in this thing about how the electricity is out in Puerto Rico. It's been 6 weeks. It's going to be another 6 weeks before most of the people get electricity. Only 30% of the island have electricity. And then I did a joke that was just more for me anyway. I just said, so that smug cunt with the... I didn't say cunt because it's Comedy Central. I said that smug bastard with the Tesla isn't talking so much. And that's because I have a Tesla, and Tesla owners may possibly be the smuggest fuckers on the earth. Because it drives... The car drives itself.
It's expensive. You're saving the earth.
You act like it. No, it does self-driving. I just sit on the motorway.
You just sit there and you do.
I went 80 miles to San Diego, and I didn't touch the wheel. I just sat there. Well, you have to touch the wheel about every sort of minute or so just to prove that you're still awake, right?
Yeah.
And so one time I was just sitting there. It was self-driving. I was just sitting there, and I was texting and emailing on the screen or something. And then it flashed and it said, oh, please touch the wheel. And I thought to myself, what will happen if I just don't touch the wheel? And then it said it again, like, please touch the wheel, like the car's getting angry at me. And I went, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to find? And then, please touch the wheel. Please. And then it just went, no, like they assumed I was asleep.
Yeah.
And the car just turned its hazard lights on and it just came to a stop in the middle of the freeway. And then I touched the wheel. And then the car, such a cunt, the car went to me, you don't get to have self-driving for another 5 hours.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like it told me off, like, you have to hold the wheel the entire way home.
You know what's...
If only there was something you had upon your anatomy that you could just droop over the wheel and then have your hands free for the whole...
Yeah, I could. I could, but I've lied about that in a lot of interviews as well. I've said to women, I've got a big dick, and then I show up and they go, you're not Brian May.
You know what's weird? Speaking of Teslas and hurricanes, though, you know, after the Hurricane Harvey hit, that Tesla sent like a patch to all the people that had the cars where it would extend the battery life so that they could go longer because they didn't have electricity and stuff like
why
that.
Why don't they just give me the patch?
That's what I'm saying. That's like a conspiracy theory thing. Like, if that exists already, why are they not giving it to
you? You want to know why? Because Elon Musk is a South African, and we all know how I feel about those people. They're evil.
Okay.
So the end of that piece,
though, I think we should mention, though, was you went back to the basically the shooting.
So we went back to the shooting because originally we wrote the piece about 4 days ago about how people forget about the news so quickly, and the Las Vegas shooting was over a month ago now, and people have really just stopped talking about it. And then on Sunday, obviously, I'm sitting at home and I'm trying to sort of practice the piece that we're going to do, and then the shooting in Texas happens, where I think it was 26 people.
26 people killed, over 20 injured.
26 people got killed by
a guy. And it's a town of 646, so it's like...
Yeah, so everybody knows everybody. Yeah. A town of 646. And so we took the avenue on this piece, and we'll probably get... a lot of flack for this, but I said a joke where I said we record this show 6 hours before it airs, and so I'd like to give my thoughts and prayers to the people who were shot in the massacre this afternoon. You know, because that's how I'm saying to feel about the whole thing. I can't do every episode, every week, I can't talk about the new gun shooting tragedy. It's so sad that we actually have to brush by these things.
Well, here's the thing, though, is mass shooting is defined as if there's an incident where four or more people are shot. They don't have to be killed, but four more people are shot, like wounded or killed. And we average one per day. So I know in our opening...
in Texas, they call it Thanksgiving.
No, here's the thing. In our opening graphics, we had a day since mass shooting, 30-0. But technically, there was a mass shooting on November 3rd, the day before, in Austin, Texas. Four people were shot. And there was three or four that day, too. So they happened. It's one per day in the United States,
average. It's a lot. And for people to just keep on going on that it's a mental health issue, and that it doesn't happen in Britain. It doesn't happen in Australia. It doesn't happen anywhere. This is the only place it happens. And if you want to be stupid enough to say that, oh, more guns would make it better. So this happened in Texas. This happened in Texas where there's people in that church who were open carrying. There were, without a doubt, there were six guns in that fucking room and they didn't do jack shit. It's a load of rubbish. America, sort yourself out.
I like the argument, too, that they're like the guy that actually came there with a gun and scared him off and shot him. They're saying he's a hero, which, although he did save lives by coming there, they're saying, like, see, a gun can save lives, but it misses the whole argument that with no guns, you wouldn't have to come there with a gun to save.
Yeah,
it's like,
and also, how late did it save the lives, and how much? It just doesn't happen in other countries.
Destroyed a whole town.
You can argue all you want about blah 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 blah. Most of the gun deaths are suicides or whatever. But look, if you think that there isn't a problem in America, I'm sorry, but you're wrong.
How do you approach it though now, like as a host of a thing?
I mean, I tell you what, this
iconic
is
iconic.
This is
talking about.
Yeah,
it.
I've become
a duty, and I
do feel like I'm the gun guy. But I tell you what, being British, when I was being Australian, but when I was touring the UK, which I will be doing again in January. So when I was touring the UK, I did notice that when you're in bars and you were drinking, everyone's a little bit more punchy.
Yeah.
I got like a couple of fist fights in the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't get in fist fights in America because you might get shot.
Yes.
So it does help in a little way.
Yeah.
You get less broken noses, but you get a longer life.
Yeah. I can see that.
But you the term to glass someone would never. No one's ever smashed a bottle into someone's head in America, because I'm sure it's happened, and someone's going to write to me going, "Well, actually, my friend has a blah, 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 blah." But it's a different, like, Britain's very fighty.
Yeah, very fighty.
Very fighty. Very fighty. People don't like you, and you know, as a celebrity, that when you get slightly famous in Britain, people want to take you down a peg. So it gets even more fightier the more well known you get. That's what I experienced anyway. And but America isn't as fighty, it's more shooty.
My only fighty in the UK was outside the Manchester Comedy Store.
Right.
And a man came up to me, and because to be fair, well, not to be fair, I was drinking a Smirnoff Ice.
Yes, which is an alky pop. Do they call them alky pops over here?
No.
It's sweet, like...
I know what a Smirnoff Ice is.
It's like a mixture. It's like an alcohol,
it's like a Zima.
Lemonade.
Yeah.
He was drinking an alky pop.
And a guy came up to me and called me a faggot, so I called out his bluff and kissed him on the lips, and he smacked me in the face and broke my nose.
Broke your nose?
Yeah, broke my nose and chipped my tooth, which I still have chipped to this day. And that was the only time I've ever been in a fight, which is not really a fight.
It was his fist that broke your tooth.
It was more making out than anything else.
I like that you guys call them fighties too. It doesn't even sound that bad.
It gets a little bit, not the fights are fighty.
Oh, I thought you were saying we're getting fighties.
No, the area is a bit fighty.
Even still, that's cute.
A fight could break
out. It's adorable.
This area is a little fighty.
Yeah. My area, though, is not very fighty. Not as fighty where I live in London. It's quite, like,
no,
like glass.
It's quite walky.
Quite walky.
Walkie-talkie. How you doing?
Little chatty.
Yeah.
Little chatty.
I saw two posh guys once square up to each other outside a pub near to where I live, and heard the best thing that's ever been shouted in a fight, which was, "Go on, Monty. He's dishonored you."
That was real,
it was,
huh?
Exceptional.
That's hilarious.
Exceptional.
I'm gonna tell you a great fighty story. I bigged it up too much. But anyway, when I first moved to America, I was living in Venice with another comedian who gave me a room in his house, and so we were living in like these alleyways in Venice. Where it's just a lot of homeless people in Venice, California. A lot of homeless people. And I started hearing a fight, right? And it was basically, it was like two guys in wheelchairs got on either end of this aisle and they wheeled towards each other, yelling shit out. They had the typical, it's always weird when you see a homeless person with an American flag out the back. Like, you're dealing with a country with no health care and you're still super proud.
We don't care about you.
You're like, we don't care about you. We're not taking care of you, but you're still like, this is the best country in the world. I'm homeless.
I'm a veteran too. It's like, oh, Graham, we're taking care of you.
So there's two, like, they look like Vietnam vets or something, but I don't know how old they were, but they were covered in dirt and grub. Anyway, so they started yelling at each other at the end of the alleyway, and I just stuck my head out the window like, oh, this will be worth a watch, right? Right, and so they wheel up to each other, and then they start punching each other, and then they end on the floor like wrestling and rolling around. I watched it, and then it just ended, and I went, "Oh, well, that passed a few minutes of my day," and I went back to watching TV, and then they start doing the exact same fucking fight again. They're yelling the same fucking words. I look at me, and they're rolling around the ground, and I stick my head out the window, and I go, "Oi, you two! Fucking sort yourselves out!" and then the director at the end of the hallway goes, "Cut!" And I was like, "Sorry, everyone. Sorry.
I'm new to Hollywood.
Enjoy making your movie." So anyway, that was a fun story. So we did the whole thing about news with some shooting.
We had Mark Cuban on.
And then we had Mark Cuban.
That was fun.
I flew out to see Mark Cuban in Dallas.
With your flights
on. Do you know Mark Cuban in America?
No, I don't know Mark Cuban.
Cuban owns the Dallas Mavericks. He's a billionaire.
Basketball team.
He's on Shark Tank, which is the equivalent of Dragon's Den. Now, there was a thing actually in the interview when I asked him, because every time you watch Shark Tank, they go, "Hey, this is the American dream, working in action. It's so great. Entrepreneurs can come onto the show. This is the American dream." And then I said to him, "It's not the American dream. That show comes from Dragon's Den. And Dragon's Den's a British show, right?" And I really laid down the law. And he goes, "Well, actually, Dragon's Den is owned by Endemol, which is a Dutch company. And the first original show is they bought it off the Japanese, and then eventually it became..." And then I'm like, "So why is it the American dream?" And he goes, "Because we're in America. Just shut up."
I already liked Mark Cuban, but even after watching the interview, I feel like I liked him more. Like, he seems like he's pretty...
He was... look, if he's Republican or Democrat, if he runs for president, man, I just fucking like the cunt, man.
What's that, single-payer healthcare? He's supportive of that.
Well, what he said about healthcare was... He said something to me about healthcare that wasn't in the interview that we aired, that was edited out, that I actually got on board with. Now, I understand that America is such a large country that it is difficult because everyone's taxes will rise so high. If we have socialized medical care, it will affect a lot of people and blah, 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 and people like their own doctor and all that. And they're just not used to it. So it's hard to bring into action. And he said the one thing that a non... Because I'm a socialist when it comes to medical coverage. He said the one thing to me that I actually said, "All right, I could deal with that." And he said, "What we do is..." He goes, "When a student takes a loan, the government backs it. And he could take for fucking ever to pay it off, right?" He goes, "You do the same thing with healthcare. What happens is, because we have Medicaid when you turn, 65?
Yeah.
When you turn 65, they have socialized healthcare in America." And he goes, "But before that, if you get cancer and that cancer costs you $800,000, you get put on the government backs the bill. And then you get put on a payment plan. And then if you fucking die, you don't have to pay it off."
Yeah.
"Right? So we're just covering the people who have the big diseases, and then everyone can cover themselves for smaller things." And I think I could get on board with that.
Yeah.
Because the problem with medical care in this country is people are just eking out an existence. They're struggling like most people are. And then what happens is someone gets cancer and then they're fucked for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Or they die.
It would be all right if you were just fucked and you just had I have to pay $50 a week.
Yeah, yeah. That's the number one thing that kills people that have cancer, is not being able to afford the treatment, not the cancer. Well, I mean, it is the cancer eventually, but it's not being able to get the treatment. By the way, it's Medicare, not Medicaid, if anyone's going to write in like some asshole. It's still, there is Medicaid too, but all I know right. some dickhead will be like, "It's Medicaid."
I got to tell you something funny, right? So what happened with Mike Cuban was, I asked him a question. I said, "If I gave you $500, how quickly could you turn it into $520? And he goes, "Really quickly." And I go, "How?" And he goes, "I'd just give you $20, man. I wouldn't waste my time."
Yeah.
And then I said, can I have $20? And this is in the interview. And then he gave me $20 and I put it in my top pocket. And I had every intention to give the $20 back to Mark Cuban. And I just forgot about it. And so I still have $20 from Mark Cuban. Now, as the field piece was showing in the studio, my dialogue at the end was going to be like, and I never gave him the $20 back, and I was going to pull a 20 out. And I reached in my pocket. I didn't have a 20. I do have the Mark Cuban 20 at home.
Yeah.
And so I turned to my manager, Alex Murray, and I said, Alex, I said, can you give me $20 really quickly? I got to do this thing. And then I did the whole thing, and I haven't given Alex his 20 back either.
This should be a new thing you do.
Small.
I'm up $40.
Are you going to mail it back to Mark Cuban?
No, I'm keeping that, man.
If he ever
becomes president, yeah. I got $20 from the president, man. I'm filming it.
Here's some other things he does that's like pretty, like he makes anonymous donations only. He also started like founded the Fallen Patriot Fund to help U.S. military personnel killed or injured. He's raised $5 million in grants for that. He's like, he seems like a good person.
No,
like,
he's a great guy. Look, this
he loaned it.
This is my personal. This is my personal opinion on Mark Cuban. He will not. This is, and like I might be wrong, but he has young children. He said to me something, and I sort of know this as well with work and everything. The most I've made money doing stand up and the TV show and everything. My most valuable thing now is time. And you can't buy time. So it's like someone will offer you a whole heap of money to do a show or something, but sometimes your time is more valuable. Now, what he said to me was that the most valuable thing he has now is time. And I feel like he spent a lot of time building this empire, becoming worth, he's like worth $5
billion. $3.3 billion.
All right, well, poor
cunt. Still.
Minus $20.
minus
$3.28.
Right, the whole thing about him is he spent all this time. Now, I don't know the age of his children, but I feel like they're in their early teens or...
It doesn't say here, but he's got two daughters and a son.
He's got two daughters, right? I feel like he won't be ready to run for president in 2020 because he's waiting for his kids to finish high school. So I would say a 2028 is when Mark Cuban is going to run.
Yeah.
But the next one's the one to do, isn't it? Like following this shit.
Well,
it's going to be... Yeah.
I would just want our first Asian president. You know, we've done everything else. We've got the orange one, the black one.
There's not been a woman yet.
Yeah.
Asian woman.
That's never gonna happen. Yeah.
We've done that. It's so far from it.
One other thing he did that was really cool was he has a player on the Dallas Mavericks, JJ Barea, who's a guard, and he's from Puerto Rico. And so he loaned the team plane for him to bring 40,000 pounds of supplies to Puerto Rico. So it's like
I'll tell you, just from meeting him for a short time, he is a decent human being. And he made his money off computers or whatever, but you know, we've interviewed a lot of people on the show, and I got to tell you, I think Mark Cuban is like, look, if we find out like in 1 week that he's Weinsteining the fuck out of the, I'll go, whoa, Mark got me by surprise. I got to tell you, Mark Cuban is a good person.
We like him. All right.
And also, the Weinsteining thing may not hold him back in the current climate.
No.
I mean,
probably not.
Didn't hold Trump back.
Yeah, you know, it didn't hold... He could still be president
still
and rape.
Still be president and do that shit.
So then the next act was about religious freedom and all the religious freedoms that if you can do anything but you can claim religious freedom. So you can hate gay people and not serve cakes to gay people if you claim it's against my religion. And we did a whole piece about
not provide insurance for a contraception.
You can have so under Obamacare, what happened before was Obamacare covered for your employees, you had to give them contraception if they didn't want to get knocked up. So now you can have a religious boss who says, I don't believe in contraception, and deny women in your company getting contraception. So it's like, it's fucking mental. So what happened there was we talked about religious freedom. We did a funny joke at the beginning about like how you can choose to be, you can choose your religion, but you can't choose to be gay or trans or have a uterus. And then I said, I've tried to have a uterus, blah, blah, blah. Now, we didn't have a tag for this joke until this morning. And it was like, also, I tried to be gay this morning. I got pretty close. And then I added a tag on in the studio audience where I went, I fucked the guy.
Did you add that from this morning or just in the audio, right?
In the audio.
Yeah, because I remember in the run. I added
that in the audio, so when I fucked the guy. Anyway, we didn't take a second take, so that's in the show.
Well, you know, that's always my go-to tag.
That's how
you did. You kissed the guy in the mouth and got punched in the face.
So. I fucked a guy. I tag every joke with that.
Jack.
Sorry.
No, not your Jack. My assistant Jack. Oh, everyone knows Jack. Jack, can you get us all alcoholic beverages, please? Can you get me? I'll have a tequila and Red Bull. What would you like first?
Let's get a beer out of here.
Beer out of there. What would you like, Jack Walker?
I've never had a tequila and Red Bull before, but
get two of the fancy tequilas on the ice. I have like a $700 bottle of tequila in my office. That was a gift.
Wow.
Drink it on ice. Like we're old gents.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to smoke as well?
Why are you whispering?
I don't
You're
know.
On a podcast.
You're on the mic.
I don't want everyone on the podcast to hear what me and Whitehall are up to.
Okay.
All right. So that was, what are we up to time wise in the podcast?
I don't know.
30. Oh, we're crushing it. We're crushing it.
But that was, you were like really in the wheelhouse. Like anytime you talk about religion, because that's like your base.
That's
where
my,
you started, you know?
That's my base.
That is, I say this, this plays to your base of fans. Because sometimes as you've grown, like as a comic, like you've had a kid and you've progressed and your comedy has changed, there's always people who are like, man, he doesn't talk about coke wanking anymore.
That was the thing. There was a review of one of my shows recently where people get so upset with me because they feel like I'm not just fucking prostitutes and doing coke all the time. I am, but I don't talk about it anymore, right? So people get upset because I'm not talking about that as much as I used to. And then, like, someone wrote a review of one of my shows where they went, he's gotten too preachy, fuck him, I'm not going to see that guy. And then, like, someone wrote a review underwards went, no, I just went and saw him. He did 30 minutes on docking. Now...
Yeah.
Which I do. At the moment in my current set, I do maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah,
on 20
minutes, 30 minutes,
docking.
But a good,
you know what docking,
got a docking
is?
Chunk.
Do I know what docking is? Of course I know what docking is. This 20 minutes I want to see. I mean, that's what's going to Phoenix Celebrity Theatre for alone.
It's a lot of docking. Do you want to do a set tonight? We can go do a set tonight.
On docking?
Yeah, we'll do a docking set.
We could dock.
Pick a comedy club. We'll go do a comedy club together.
He's got
to
fly out.
You have to do 20 minutes on docking. Yeah.
I can do 30 if I can extend it. I'll just speak slower.
You could start with frottaging and then move
his
on
next
to
special.
What's frottaging?
Frottaging is simply just the rubbing of tips, and then docking is
tips of the penis.
Oh, I just call that rubby dick tip.
But wait, what's it called? Frottaging?
Frottaging.
Frottaging is
it
rubbing
so
of the tip of the dicks.
To frottage. It sounds like such a
sounds
nice
sounds like a nice meal.
Yeah. A frottage pie.
Yeah.
Now, so for some reason, this third act was gay heavy, and we did a whole lot of stuff about how... And then there was a bit where I did a turn to the camera. Now, they're editing the show as we speak, so I don't know how much of this got in. But we turned, and I did a bit about how gays can do anything in the modern era except for accidentally get pregnant, right? They can't accidentally get pregnant. That's the one thing we'll say, they can't do that, right? And so then I went on a rampage about how... Rampage.
rampage. Texas.
I went on a rant about how could a gay person accidentally get pregnant about a guy walking downstairs holding a cup of cum. Now, that wasn't in the teleprompt, and we did two versions of that. The first version of it was about 7 minutes long. Now, the show's only 22 minutes long, so Scott, our producer...
It wasn't 7 minutes. It was about...
It was very long.
It was almost 2 minutes in a six-minute piece or something.
All right. Whitehall. Taste.
Is there Red Bull in that?
No. Just sip this. Just sip this, just my friend.
No, listen. Drinking tequila.
Oh, yeah, that's very much.
Whisper, guys. Yeah, keep it down. Keep your voices down.
Yeah. Look at that. It's not a shot, is it?
Keep your voices
down. That's meant to be enjoyed.
Too loud.
It's meant to be enjoyed.
Yep.
Oh, Jack.
That should just be a podcast where you just hear the ice clinking of a drink. It's kind of soothing.
It's good, right?
It's so good.
That's good.
This is like also like bringing, like it's flooding back memories and like drinking tequila with you.
It's
giving me that look, and I know how
it's
this
a, but
ends.
This is a numbered bottle. This is like, they've only made so much of it. This is like a special.
It's like I am feeling like I'm 17 again. Drinking.
How did it end when you were 17?
You're not 17 again,
like
because I'm
climbing Barnaby. Where the fuck are you?
I won't. I'll tell a story about Jack Wilde.
No.
This is about you. This is about how much much of a shit I am. Okay. When Jack was very young and he came to a couple of my shows at Edinburgh, and Jack was a very promising comedian, and I was on the way down in my career. And we were drinking. We got blind drunk together. Maybe you were 19 at this stage. We got blind fucking drunk together. And there was a female comedian. I won't say the name of the female comedian because she's still angry about it. But the next day, and she was a friend of mine, she wouldn't speak to me. And I was like, what? I was hanging out with you and your brother.
Yeah.
Right? And she wouldn't speak to me. And then, like, she wouldn't speak to me the next day and the next day. And then I actually called her up. I said, are you angry with me? And she goes, the things you said to me in front of Jack Whitehall and his little friends were the most offensive things I've ever heard in my entire life. And I went, what did I say? And she goes, you know what you said. And I, to this day, I have no idea. No idea. I've apologized profusely, but allegedly I was trying to entertain you and your brother by saying horrible things to women. And so I'm sorry if you're listening and you know who you are.
You're still not friends with her? Or she still hasn't forgiven you?
She has forgiven me. It took a long time. She actually came to the show the other day when she was in LA. And then she
The taping?
Yeah, you know who it was. And she actually said to me, I'll write it down.
Write it down again. And send it to me.
So you're good then. You guys are cool. Did she at least tell you the offensive things?
No, I still to this day.
It'd be interesting to know what the most offensive
things. I still to this day don't know what I've said.
Maybe it's a really long play, like prank.
Yeah.
Like 20 years from now, she's going to be like, you didn't say anything. Like, fuck.
Scott Zabinski's just come in. Do you want to join on the microphone for a bit? Scott, come and join us. Scott,
his last name is not Zabinski.
It's very close to that.
What is
Scott's
it?
Scott's just been pleading with the editor.
Scott's our showrunner to the show. He's
been pleading with the editor to hack down
Scott's
that 7-minute rant.
The second most important person on the show, next to Forrest.
I thought Jack was higher than me.
No.
Anyway, so Scott, have you met Jack Whitehall?
He
met Jack
Whitehall?
Yeah, we met earlier.
Nice young man.
Yeah.
Scott, I was just talking about the bit where I just went on a rant about how pregnant, how gay people could get accidentally pregnant, and now it's up to your edit. What edit have you chosen? Are you keeping this in or are you cutting it out?
We haven't decided yet, but I think what we're going to do is we'll take the first take because I think that was the funny one. I don't think you could beat
just
that.
Get
we'll
rid just... of Mark Cuban. Just get rid of him. We don't need him. We don't even put him in another episode.
Yeah.
We problem solved.
We don't need him anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I was just saying, I took $20 from Alex Murray for the sketch. I kept his $20 as well.
Just see how many times you can pull this.
So, Alex Murray, if you're listening, and I'm sure you're not because you don't take a proactive vision of my career.
No, he's listening to the Nerdist.
No, he's actually the best manager in the world. But he takes care of me. Like, Alex Murray takes care of me. Chris Hardwick, who earns more money than me because of his 17 television shows. Mm. And Jim Gaffigan and Nikki Glaser. And I feel like I'm not the lowest on his list, but I need for Jim Gaffigan to rape a few people so I can move up on the ranks. So Jim, I know we're friends, but if you're listening, do that for me.
I don't think that would help your career. You're not going to fill a niche that he had.
Oh, this is a comedy show, for fuck's sake, Forrest.
I'm yeah, I know. I was giving. Okay, you know what?
All right,
I
so
tried to throw you softballs. You know when you let
was
me
that
do
too
it.
Bad? Should we edit that out?
Well, don't worry. The lawyers will let us.
May I say that Jim? May I say that Jim Gaffigan is one of the nicest men I've ever met, and he doesn't rape anyone. Beep. Caveat.
Well said.
Beep.
Just keep that bit in without the bit before. Yeah. That would be a really nice end to the show as a non sequitur. Jim's thought for the day. Jim Gaffigan is a lovely chap. He's never raped
anyone. Thought for the day. People I don't think rape. So. I tell you what, I did an interview with Larry King last week, and he just... Larry King, because he's old as balls, because he literally looks like balls, he was very nice. You know Larry King,
yeah,
is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Larry King, he just sort of speaks like this. And then he just was reading off a teleprompt the whole time, and he was just like this. So, Jim Jefferies, you're an atheist. Do you think atheism can go too far? And I started stuttering in the interview, like, I thought he was going to do, so you studied musical theater in college, which is a question that I always have an answer for.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then he just goes like this. He goes, so... I don't know if this is in the interview because the interview is coming out in a few days, but he goes, so Harvey Weinstein, He goes, do you think all those women are being honest? And I'm like, well, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. He goes, I feel like we've gotten to a stage where you can't even order, you can't even invite a subordinate to lunch. Right? So I don't know if Larry King's all for right, but he's like, he's,
oh
my God. he's not happy about the whole thing. So I just went, and then I was like, fuck me, right? And I just said, and I said one thing in the interview, which I may be getting condemned for now because it's airing. I said, well, I don't have that many subordinates, and I've looked at all of your subordinates, and I don't want to take any of them to lunch. Now, I didn't, may I say that I wasn't saying that his subordinates were unattractive. It was just, most of his subordinates are men, and there was one woman who was extraordinarily unattractive.
Okay, well,
I got I was on a red carpet on Friday, and I was walking down it and having to do a bit of stuff with the press, and one of them went, Harvey Weinstein said about you that you were going to be the next big thing. How do you feel about that quote now? And I was like,
well, I wouldn't put it on a poster.
Jack's answer was, I swallowed way too much cum.
By the
really? Did Harvey Weinstein say you were going to be the next big thing? Yeah. Next big thing?
Yeah, yeah. I've
Man,
I
you
met
must
him
be,
in a hotel.
You met him in a hotel? Did you ask go to his room?
No, I met him in the lobby.
And so why did he think you were going to be the next big thing? Like, what movie did you do?
Because I didn't do a movie. I'd met him.
He just met you.
Yeah, he's fucking terrifying.
Because the things that people don't know about Forrest are this, that he's actually the thinnest 8-foot-tall person on Earth. He just looks short from a distance. And
8-foot-tall is what you're going to go with?
But anyway, so Forrest, you have a passion. Tell us about your passion, Forrest.
What's my passion?
You like rom-coms.
Romantic, chick flicks.
Romantic comedies.
No, chick flicks. They're different than romantic comedies.
A chick flick is different to a rom-com.
Because so a rom-com
could be like, you know, all the gals on a trip.
Okay, a chick flick could be a rom-com, but a rom-com isn't always necessarily a chick flick. It's like, the thing is chick flicks are generally, that the humor isn't like the driving force of the movie, you know? Like, for instance, Steel Magnolias, classic chick flick. Mm. Great, great cast, good acting. But, and there is some comedy in it, but it's more about like the relationships that the women have with each other and then so, emotion of it. Yeah.
So it's just so has you to like, be women and emotions.
He
and,
likes emotion. So, now, so, now Forrest,
Sophie's Choice.
Forrest grew sure. up. Forrest yeah. is the only yeah. child of a single parent of Mom. His mother. He loves his mother to bits. Did some of this come from your mother?
No, you know what it is? You know what I think I discovered was like, I guess I would start crying at like certain things. I don't, because I'm not a very emotional person at all. Even when I get happy or sad, or I don't show it a lot. So when I'm alone, I become more emotional. And then I think like to feel some emotion, I watch movies where there's emotional things that are going to happen
when,
in the script.
When
and
you,
then,
when yeah, you, yeah. Yeah. And when then you I, yeah. do this, do you put your cock and balls between your legs and stand in front of a mirror and go, "I'm a lady, I'm a lady"?
I'm not against
I'm
doing that. No.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you on that.
You and cry?
I cry.
Yeah,
and not in real life, but then when I watch a film, I'm like a heavily hormonal pregnant woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gosh, me too. Get some ice cream.
Oh, ice cream. Yeah, yeah. I will
that's
go.
Why I'm so fat.
But
Trick
I will
flicks.
Cry at TV as well. I tried it, Deal or No Deal, because the woman was going to holiday.
Look, I stop before I
start. Last movie
like
you cried at?
This oh can God. Be a sensitive podcast.
Jack, what's the last movie you cried at?
The last movie that I cried at.
Look, the deal is you can only cry at The Shawshank Redemption, and that's it.
Inside
there's
out.
No other movies.
Inside Out.
Oh, Inside Out.
Come
was
on,
very,
come
it was very
on.
Sad.
Inside
Up.
Out. Yeah.
Up. Yeah, of course.
Up.
These
fuck
are all cartoons.
No,
yeah.
What are you talking about?
Fuck up,
life, Jim. It's
fuck up. He's old. Get over it. Your wife's dead. Enjoy yourself. Get a hooker. Stop tying fucking balloons to your house.
It's really sad. But I'll tell you the bleakest moment of my life was when I stayed in the Disney Hotel and I had a towel that had the old guy from Up embroidered onto it because they have all the characters from Disney films on the towels. And I dried my testicles on the face of the old man from Up and saw his grieving eyes looking up at me as my balls went up and down on his side.
There was
sad
no
face.
Cum involved?
No, Jim! There was no cum. There was.
Did you have a separate tile just for your testicles, or that was just the portion?
I just chose that portion.
Yeah, I have a friend who actually refuses to dry his balls with his other. He has a separate tile just for that.
The ball
tile. Yeah, because he doesn't want his balls touching the part that's touching the rest of his body.
Oh,
well, like a flannel or a
towel. I have two women for the same job.
No, but I might be okay with that actually, with a separate towel for the balls and ass. Yeah. I think that's a good system because sometimes you get out, and even no matter how good you've washed, when you wipe off your balls and your ass, it's still a little stinky, and then it gets on your towel, and then you put it on your face.
Why are you washing yourself?
That's what curtains are for.
Yeah.
So anyway, this has been a long fucking route to get to this, but
I want to say real quick before you keep going, I'm actually, this is a good segue, I have a podcast coming out, it's all about chick flicks, it's all about men.
Jack, give me one more sippy tequila.
It's all about men. Watching chick flicks and the podcast will be out soon, and I'll let everybody
men
know.
Watching chick flicks.
That's so about it. Yeah.
Just bring the bottle, Jack. Just bring the bottle.
Jack Hackett, we're talking to. Not
the,
Jack White.
The fancy one's out, dude.
So.
The fancy one's out?
Yeah.
Suck a dick, Jack.
How did you let this happen?
He's. All right. I thought I had money in my pocket. Just get me.
You got $20.
$20 in one pocket.
That's a good bottle of tequila
other.
For $20.
This is an Alex Murray 20.
$40 of other people's
just
money.
Get me,
to get
just
tequila.
Get me. What mixer do you want? What mixer do you want?
I'm easy.
Get a couple of vodka Red Bulls for me and Jack Whitehall so we can stay up all night. dance the night away until he kisses me and chips a tooth. No, let him finish
like
his other one.
Get tooth on the kiss. I was
so we.
I wasn't a passionate.
So anyway,
we have
so
one
my
last
point
act.
Is my so point is my point is
when are
my,
we talking
my,
about docking?
No, my friend Jack Whitehall. I'm sitting in a hotel. I'm probably masturbating. I watched a movie and then I was like, this movie sucks dogs dicks. And the movie was called Mother's Day, and the movie had like big stars in it.
It's an ensemble movie, right?
It's an ensemble. Yeah. It's a chick flick.
Yeah.
Julia Roberts. And other stars.
I'm looking it up now. I forget who else is in it. But it's kind of like in the vein of New Year's Day.
It's like Love Actually.
Yeah.
It's cool. There's a lot of storylines. And then there was a person in it who was like a guy who denied having a baby and then he loved the baby in the end. And that was Mr. Jack Whitehall. And I remember going, oh, thank God Jack's got a living because I thought you'd be homeless by now.
Fuck you.
Who's in the movie?
That was in 2000.
You're a rude man.
Oh, wait, that's a different Mother's Day.
No,
there's
that's
a, lot of
a different Mother's Day. That's the horror film. Actually, quite well.
It was Gary Marshall's last film. Yeah. I only know that because Jax told me that. And it was.
And that's all I said. And
I got a great story. So I can't believe I'm being so egotistical. So the girl who played Laverne and Shirley was Gary Marshall's sister.
Penny Marshall.
Many years ago, when I started like sort of getting a bit of a following in the UK, I went and did a comedy club, and Penny Marshall came to see me 3 times, and she was just a fan. And she said, and she came out and she goes, "I love the jokes and whatever." She did something in that voice, and I love the show, and everything's going great, and all that sort of stuff. And then when I was doing Legit, which was watched by tens of people, I had a scene where I was sexually harassed, and this actually came from a real story in my life, where I was sexually harassed by an executive in the industry, right? And it doesn't just happen to women, it happens to men as well. And so I had this scene where I was about to get a development deal, and the executive said, you can have a development deal, but first you have to lick my pussy. And then she said, lick my pussy over and over again. And my first choice was actually Penny Marshall because I said, Penny Marshall's a fan.
Yeah.
She can come along.
I remember.
We'll have Laverne from Laverne and Shirley, and she can say, lick my pussy over and over. And they go, we can't get her. She says she'll do another role, but she won't say lick my pussy over and over again. Mm. And in the end, and thank fuck, this is how life works, man. Thank fuck this happens. We got Carrie Fisher.
Oh, my God.
Great scene.
And then she said, lick my pussy over and over again. And then I actually did do that. And that's the news.
that's how she died.
That's the biggest edit of the new Star Wars film.
here's who was in Red Mother's Day.
And the weird thing was, it was only a week ago.
Dug her up. Here's who was in Mother's Day. Jennifer Aniston, Kate Hudson, Julia Roberts, Jason Sudeikis, Timothy Olyphant.
Jennifer Aniston. Willy woo.
I looked up you, Jack, to find this out. You've been in a ton of stuff. Like somebody, but you were in Frozen?
I got cut from Frozen. I had one line. I was Gothy the Troll in Frozen.
Gothy the Troll.
Oh, really? Yeah. You were cut from Frozen?
Yes, my agent.
When they cut you, did they actually say, let it go?
No.
We got new drinks.
They genuinely told me that my part had been reduced to a non-speaking role in an animation, which was the best Hollywoodism
How are you cut to a non-speaking role?
No, Jim, it's bullshit.
It's just the sound of you masturbating over a snowman.
Right. Well, I was like, I could be the lamp in Aladdin for that part. It doesn't.
You just pointed the character. That's me. Moment. Yeah, that's me.
I saw someone watching Mother's Day on a plane, and genuinely, after the scene with me, they turned it off and put on the in-flight map.
Okay,
that's the. I've
had this one time. My first the HBO specials are always on flights, right? So maybe 8 years or maybe 6 years ago, my HBO special was on Delta, and I was still sitting in economy because I couldn't afford to sit in first class yet. Like I'm still at that stage, right? And my special was airing on Delta, and I was walking back from the toilet, and there was a guy watching me, and I thought, this will be cool. I'll just put my face right near his face and stare at him, and then he'll freak the fuck out. And I did that, and I stood there for maybe 10 seconds. He didn't turn, and then eventually he turned and just rolled his eyes.
No. Oh, God. I was on a plane once and I settled in to watch 12 Years a Slave and I was like, this is
Were you
film.
In 12 Years a Slave?
No, I was not in 12 Years a Slave.
Which one were you?
But I was like,
was the 11th year.
I need to watch this film because it's an important film for everyone to watch. And I started watching it and I looked up and Chiwetel Ejiofor was sat in front of me, like staring back at me. And I was like, I don't think I can watch this film now.
Yeah.
Because I.
Who is staring at you?
The main guy from 12 Years a Slave. And I was like, I can't.
Brad Pitt?
No. Chiwetel Ejiofor. And I was like,
Do you watch our show, Jack Whitehall?
Well, not today.
You didn't even watch it live.
Have you seen my show?
Yeah, I watched it on
Who's
YouTube.
Who's my weatherman?
Brad Pitt.
All right. I thought I'd catch you out.
How did you get Brad Pitt to be your weatherman?
Because Brad Pitt's a fan of mine.
It's insane. It's great.
Yeah, and
Do you have to eat his pussy?
Yes. I'm the reason the marriage broke up. Yeah. I'm taking care of Silo right now. Is it Silo? I don't know. Shiloh?
I think it'll be edited out.
Will it? That's all right. No one's going to be offended by that.
I'll find out. This is a good segue, though. Jack Whitehall has a special out right now on Netflix. How long has the special been out?
Oh, like a couple of weeks.
It's
called Kissy Kissy Not Gay.
That's not what it's called. It's called Jack Whitehall at Large. It's
Jack
on
Whitehall
Netflix.
At Large, tag. And then I fucked a guy. that's the.
There is Shiloh. By the way, here's the kids. Shiloh, Maddox. Vivian,
I don't care for Maddox.
Zahara, Paxthean, and Knox Leon.
Oh, don't be mean. Don't be mean. We're trying to get our weatherman to come back to do one more episode. But it's always very delicate. You just go, hey, Brad, how are you doing? You want to come and hang? If you become a real movie star, we'll get you on the actual show, Jake.
Yeah, thanks very much. That'd be really great.
Yeah, if you get on Frozen 2.
Have you been the lead in a movie?
Only in England, so it doesn't
count. What was that movie? It was called Bad Teeth.
Bad Education. It was actually called Bad Education.
Really? I know, but that's from your TV show.
Yeah, it was this movie.
He had a sitcom where he played a teacher, and then he had a movie that came... Because Jack's popular with
people. You had a show with your dad.
Jack, I'm going to ask you now, on the air.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, I'm back in January. We're doing specials. We're doing 3 shows at the Hammersmith Apollo. Will you open for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm coming to one of the shows, though.
Do you want to come and do
as
five?
A guest.
Do you want to do 5 minutes? You
I'll
can come as
you.
A guest. You're all right. Fucking Fuck Jack yeah. Whitehall's opening. I once tried to get Jimmy Carr to
do that. Does
that
mean I'm not opening now?
No, he's going to do 5.
I thought you fired me in front of us.
I'm just making your life more difficult.
No, Jack has to go after me. He's not going to go in front of me in England. Come on.
To be fair, is me opening, is that going to put him in the right mood?
No, it's not stand up. I just need you to open your asshole in the dressing room.
Oh, what a callback to the first episode.
Why would
they
not put him in the podcast.
All right, so Act 4. Docking.
Wow, keeping it moving along.
Act 4 was, we talked about Papa John's, and in Papa John's, what happened with Papa John's was, Papa John's,
Papa John.
He spoke out against the kneeling in the AFL. He said, I don't believe this is right.
Well, he said, no, he thought it was affecting their sales.
He thought, okay, what happened was Papa John's was the official pizza of the NFL, and then the kneeling happened, and that was affecting his sales. And then what happened was he said, I don't agree with the kneeling, blah, 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 blah. And then the alt-right decided that the Nazis said, the Nazis said that Papa John's is the pizza of the Nazis.
Favorite pizza. Alt-right. Right?
Oh. And they had like, what
official
was it?
Pizza.
What was the name of the newspaper?
The Daily Stormer.
The Daily Stormer.
It was like big when Charlottesville was happening. That was they.
So they were, the Daily Stormer said that Papa John's is our guy, and then Papa John's was like, "Fuck, I don't want to be attached to these people." So then he said, "I love this joke, by the way." He goes, "I don't want racists buying my pizza." So he told. So the not racist people wouldn't buy his pizza because the racists were supporting him. And then the racists wouldn't buy his pizza. And we said the joke that was, so now all he's got left are people who are racist but don't think they are, which is basically everyone. I said that joke. I'm sure lots of Asian people can't understand it. Now...
What?
It's a joke. Oh my God.
No, I know. I don't even understand it at first.
I became an accidental face of the racist movement in America. In the
you became the face.
Donald Trump Jr. retweeted a tweet of me, a meme of me from that show I did, my sitcom Bad Education, going shush, like shushing the class. Mm. Clearly had no idea the context of what this meme was or who the fuck I was, but he tweeted it. In a debate about Charlottesville, like shutting up.
Were you
Black
holding
Lives
a tiki
Matter.
Torch? Or?
No, it was fucking there, just going shush. And then you're all going... of a sudden, my Twitter went mad. It was like, oh my God, you're shushing Black Lives Matter. I was like, that is not what I was doing in the original.
Yeah, of course
thing.
Not.
And but suddenly, I'm like the shusher of Black Lives Matter. Please, can you tell them that
okay,
I'm not?
Okay, everybody,
Jack.
I feel like it's really up to you to tell people you're not. It's really not me. Like.
No, but you have a voice here.
I was once in
Could
a
you
situation.
Just tell them that I'm not a racist. You helped Jim Gaffigan out by.
I was once
people
in a situation. This is a bit of a name drop. I was once in a situation where Russell Crowe got in trouble for throwing a girl out of his hotel room. I was in the hotel room. I'm not going to get into the weeds about this.
I remember that.
Right,
story.
But this is true. But Russell and Russell was 100% in the right. The girl was out of control. He physically removed her from the hotel room. And then afterwards, the next day, I ring up Russell, and he was talking about it. And I said, don't worry, Russ. I got your back. Don't worry about it. If the media comes to me, I'll tell them that you did the right thing. And he said to me, he goes, Jim, I don't need a renowned misogynist sticking up for me. So anyway, so Russell did nothing wrong.
So
but
maybe I'm
you're
not the guy.
You're the face.
End scene.
This is the whole thing. This is an hour-long podcast. We're blind right now.
We are?
This may be our best podcast.
Oh, well, we're not the judge of that, really.
No, but you know what it is? This is the thing, right? For the other episodes, we've had, like, writers and Scott on. Say hello, Scott.
Hey, well, why are you doing that face, though, when you said that?
Yeah, you made what a really bad face towards
what
it.
What I'm saying is we've had other unfamous people. And then me and Jack, another famous person. When two famous people come together, it's been electric, am I right?
And that's why you should come to the Phoenix Celebrity Theatre.
December 2nd.
Because it will just be famous people watching Jim talk about docking.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
Jack, are you circumcised? You're British. You're probably not.
I'm not.
You probably have like a big fucking hooded skin.
Big old hood.
On your fucking British dick.
Robin Hood.
What's a British
Steals
dick?
Steals from the rich and gives to the poor.
So I could get my nice, pristine, circumcised dick and line
Did
it up to you.
Did you circumcise it when you came to America?
No. Australia, because all the sand.
No,
that was
Australia,
the previous podcast.
We've talked about this. Yeah. In Australia, there's a lot of heat.
Kangaroos are kicking sand in your
dick. I thought that was like a thing you get, like when you apply for an O-1 visa, you have to go to the embassy.
Okay, Jack, I've known you for a decade. I never became a British citizen, and there's a good reason for that. It's my pristine dick.
Your pristine dick.
Yeah, now you have a horrible hooded dick.
I do not have a horrible hooded dick, and I will just... Like, it's a lovely dick.
Why is your dick lovely with your foreskin? I'm sure it smells of all type of British things. I'm sure it smells tea. Of like and, tea and raping Indian people.
Whoa!
Oh, Jesus Christ. You could have just said like Indian cuisine Indian or something, cuisine. But you went, yeah.
Right, okay, right. Crumpets, Indian cuisine.
Could have been anything else.
So anyway, so your dick is mostly just cheese and chicken tikka masala.
What is that? Chicken tikka masala?
Chicken tikka masala. So you show this dick to women, right? You actually pull it out and go, "This is my dick," with no sense of irony.
I've never done that. I've never taken it out and showed it to anyone.
What are you talking about?
Oh, unless that it's been in a mutually environment.
You've been in movies. Weinstein's seen it.
On Mother's Day, there was never a right time to bring it out yeah. amongst those
I got to be honest. Mother's Day is the worst time to see your dick. Jennifer Aniston, what did you think of her? Was she a nice-looking broad? What am I?
Good segue.
I don't know. I'm really uncomfortable segueing from my dick.
I like that I become Frank Sinatra, like, hey, what are these dames look like? Was she a nice-looking broad?
Kate Hudson, tell me about her.
You're kind of Larry Kinging him right now,
yeah,
actually.
I feel like if we're talking about dicks, let's stick on dicks.
I'm going to drink your drink.
You drink my drink.
Stick on dicks. That's pretty good. I like that.
If we're on the topic of dicks, we should stick with dicks.
Stick on dicks.
And not move on to
that front. Only a person who's not circumcised would say stick with dicks, because your dick would probably stick to anything.
My dick is not... It's well
kept. It would be a disgusting, British, super... Name me one time in history where extra skin was a good thing. When some fat cunt loses, like a 500-pound cunt loses weight. Scott, where the fuck are you going?
Let me tell you something.
You sit back down. Put your fucking foreskin dick into this argument.
You let me know how we come out on this dick situation. I got to go edit the show.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Scott, you're acting like the show's the most important thing. We all know that the podcast is the most important
Comedy
thing.
Central has made that clear, the podcast.
Yeah, yes. I'll tell you something, Jack Waddle.
Yes.
I didn't want to do this podcast. I'd rather be in my office doing cocaine right now. Yeah. But what happens is...
Let me tell you something. You know when you're on Facebook and you see like how something gets made and they speed it up really quick so you don't have to sit through the 5-hour process?
Yeah.
I feel like that's how we've been watching you get drunk, Jim, this podcast. Like, you started off sober. You got drunk in like 10 minutes about.
I've been very eloquent on this podcast.
It's been great. It's very entertaining. I hope people make it to the end. If you just listen to the beginning, you're like, yeah, that's pretty good. Whatever.
Jack shows up by the end, big fucking hooded dick. Expecting all the fucking credit in the world. I'm not going to take it.
I feel like this podcast ends with me kissing Jim and getting punched.
Yeah, I think that's where we have to go. We're at the end here.
All right, we have to be good night. Okay, so everyone who's listening to the podcast, thank you for listening.
Wait, before we go, Jack Whitehall. Are we gonna think
of Jack Whitehall has things coming up.
Yeah,
he's talked about his Netflix special. He's got his hooded show.
I'm booked in for a circumcision tomorrow morning now, though, because I feel conscious about my horrible, smelly...
Before your appearance on Conan?
It's not smelly, Jack.
It smelt of curry.
It's not smelly. It's just unsightly.
Unsightly.
Okay. So
I really want to show it to you right now.
Jack will be...
Just show me a dick.
I'm not showing
Jack, just show me a dick. Show me a dick.
Jim?
A little bit.
We've been friends for over a decade. We've been through this before.
I can't believe we've ever truly been friends, because if we'd truly been friends, I would have seen your dick. Forrest, how many times have you seen my dick?
I don't even know. Countless. Have you seen my dick?
Okay. I love how Forrest is so dumb that he thinks it's countless. Like, who can get to number 87 and then go, I forgot about counting?
Well, it's the thing about when you see someone's dick, you don't really tally it up. Like, and let me put that in my diary.
I've seen a journal.
I used to share a lot of rooms with Jim, so I'd see his dick a lot. Yeah, but
in the early days, I suffered from a lot of depression. So when I started doing theaters and I had a support act, I used to like to have them sleep in the same room as me.
Oh. And you would masturbate when I was snoring, right?
I had a girlfriend and a child. I wasn't going to fuck anything. I was trying to be a faithful sort of guy. So I used to wait till Forrest fell asleep and snored, and then I'd masturbate.
That was when he knew it was safe.
Yeah. On his face.
I'd wake up and be like...
started off so charming.
I feel like I got apnea.
It is sweet that I was such a good guy.
It was so sweet. And then it suddenly went...
to 20.
And Forrest couldn't explain why he was gaining weight so rapidly. Because it turns out that my cum is high caloric count. A lot of calories in my cum. Mostly because I always like my cum to be fed with fried chicken.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Wow, that's the end of the show.
Right, I don't know what's happening right
good,
now.
I think it's a good
okay,
out right
everyone,
there.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Maybe my favorite podcast, Jack Whitehall.
Thank you very much.
I've missed you.
I've missed you.
You are a gent. You are one of the most talented young men I've ever met. You are one of the least talented old people I've ever met. Your face looks like it should be covered in cum, so it looks appropriate.
Oh, well, here we go.
But I adore you. Good night, everyone.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Jack Whitehall, for being here. Please subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And no dicks were taken out during the making of this podcast. Thanks.
There was dicks.